This is Digital Story Podcast number 801, July 27th, 2021. Today's theme is The 5 Photo Tips We Seem to Forget. I'm Derek Story. One of the great things about hanging around other photographers, as I've been doing during the online workshops, is that they remind you of things we sometimes forget. The latest batch comes compliments of the Ultimate Black and White Workshop that we just wrapped up on Saturday. I think you'll get a kick out of these, and I hope you enjoy the show. So I have this running joke with photography, and it goes something like this. If there are 10 things to remember for a successful picture, and I forget just one of them, I'm usually disappointed with the shot. You know, and that doesn't give us a very wide margin of error. And that's sometimes the frustrating thing about becoming a student of photography because, you know, when you were just shooting in auto everything mode, the shots, generally speaking, would be acceptable. Maybe not great, maybe not artistic, but acceptable. So then you decide you're going to start learning stuff. You're going to tweak this and adjust that. And your shots actually appear worse, right? You start to feel like you're going backwards instead of forwards. Well, why don't I just go back to auto everything? Because I made fewer mistakes. But by the same token, you don't have the opportunity to move forward. So there's that kind of awkward period that happens at various spots in our career. And then we get along to a certain point, and that's the point that most of us are in this audience here, where we've been doing this for a while. We're pretty comfortable with the basics, but then we forget things that we had already learned. And so there's always a way to, you know, bring you back down, to humble you, to, you know, remind you that you are human. And I think forgetting some of the things that we already know is one of the ways that nature reminds us that, hey, buddy, don't get too confident because there's always this, right? There's always this. So what I have for you today are 5 things from that category, right? Those things that we already know, but we sometimes forget. And it's good to be reminded of them, as I am often when I'm hanging out with other photographers in our online workshops. I'm reminded of these things so that then when we go back out in the field, we get 10 out of 10 things that need to be done right instead of 9 out of 10 things or 8 out of 10 things. So let's see what you think of this list of, guess what, 5 reminders. All right, here's the first thing to remember. Remember to reset the ISO to auto after jacking it up to 6,400 the night before, right? This is so common, and this happened to one of our participants in the recent workshop, and he actually had to go back out and shoot the assignment again because he had been doing some stuff the night before, had the ISO set way high, goes out the next day, does a day shoot, and doesn't notice that the ISO was at 6,400. You know, and the funny thing is that when you have the white balance set incorrectly, let's say that you correct it for tungsten the night before, you're working inside with incandescent lighting. Well, when you go out the next day and you look through the viewfinder, you see that the white balance is off if you have an electronic viewfinder, right? You see, you go, oh, wow, ooh. And there are a lot of other things where we get visual cues that we have screwed up. But the ISO thing will get you because you don't get a visual cue. You don't suddenly, when you're shooting this beautiful landscape in front of you, see all sorts of grain showing up in the shot in the electronic viewfinder. No, you don't get to see that until you open it up in Lightroom and you go even to 50% and you go, whoa, what happened there? And why are the colors not saturated? And you go, oh, man. 6,400, right? 6,400. So remember, whenever you wander away from auto ISO, especially going up the scale, the minute you're done with that shoot, return it to auto ISO. Return it to auto ISO. And there will be a day where you thank me for this. There will be a day. Now, I know you know this already, and everything on this list, you know. These are reminders for things that we already know, but occasionally forget. All right, here's the second one. Shading the front of your lens when shooting in the direction of the sun. The lenses these days are so good, I think we get spoiled, right? We get spoiled in that, you know, they do a very good job with contrast and all sorts of situations. Of course, they're sharp, yada, yada, yada. And all those wonderful coatings do a great job of protecting us from lens flare, except when we get that lens a little too close to the sun, which is, by the way, a fun way to shoot, right? I'm not saying don't shoot toward the direction of the sun. I'm just saying that when you do, be aware. And what I like to do is have a lens hood on as the first layer, but that sun is kind of close to the lens. Sometimes even the lens hood won't work. So then I take my hand and I cup it around the lens hood, sticking out a little bit from it to give me additional protection from the sun. And this is when a lens hood, I think, is particularly handy. And this is why I like hard lens hoods instead of the rubbery ones that fold up and don't work with this technique. Because the hard ones are there. You can put your hand right on it and shade the sun, and it looks good. And boy, I'll tell you, and I'm sure you've done this, right? You do it with the shade, right? With your hand on there, look through the viewfinder and you see this picture, and you take your hand away and you see how much the picture changes, how much the contrast and the color changes just from not having that little extra shielding, okay? So remember to shade the front of your lens when you're shooting in the direction of the sun. Keep shooting in the direction of the sun because there's some really cool shots that you get that way. Just give your lens every chance possible to pull it off. Here's a fun one that I have to remind myself all the time when I'm shooting for someone else. Like when I'm, you know, doing my work for the PR department for the junior college and things like that. And that's remember to shoot a little wide and then crop the taste in post. And we can especially do that now because we all have enough resolution with our cameras, right? Unless you're shooting with the phone itself, you have enough resolution. And with the sampling up programs that we have available to us, we still have enough resolution. So the thing is that, you know, if you shoot too tight, then you can't add all that information that you didn't capture around it because that's what we call drawing or painting, right? That isn't photography. You can't add information that isn't there unless you really go to great extents in Photoshop and you make an oversized canvas and then you clone and da-da. You know, in that case, you can. All right, my way is much easier, right? My way is much easier. Shoot a little wider than you anticipate that you'll need. And then when you're in post, you can crop it exactly the way that you want. And you'll still have plenty of resolution, right? Because you're not having to crop a whole lot. You're just, you know, cropping some to taste. In general, I would say that when we have our class presentations at the workshops, probably the number one comment that is made either by me or one of the other photographers on a shot that is almost there, so close, it just needs a finishing touch. I can't tell you how many times that finishing touch is cropping. Just a little crop here, a little crop there. And boom, you can extract the piece of art that's in that photograph, right? So cropping in general is something that we have to remember to do to improve our photos. But this little technique that I'm talking about, which is shooting a little wider than you think you need and then cropping the perfect frame out of that shot in post-production, I tell you, it works really well, really well. Okay, here's the fourth one. It's not good enough just to carry an extra battery, okay, when we're out in the field. Yes, we need to have an extra battery because things happen and you don't want to lose a potentially great shot because you run out of juice. The other part of that, and the part that we sometimes forget, is that that extra battery needs to be charged, right? Because the classic Derek is doing this. Oh, in the heat of battle, oh, I'm getting the low battery warning. Thank goodness I have an extra battery. I swap out that extra battery, put the battery in, and then I'm shooting and shooting, and the day is saved. However, I did not make the mental note or do the little trick where I have my battery turned a specific way in my bag or in my pocket to remember to charge that battery when I get back to the house. So then, a week later, I'm out, I'm shooting and shooting, it's all exciting, I get the low battery warning again. I go, no problem, I have an extra battery. I swap it out, and I still get the flashing, you need to change the battery warning. Oh no, I did not charge my spare battery. And I have told this story before, my favorite story, the one that took me, oh, probably about a year before I could tell it. When I had this magical evening at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., there was some light that was just perfect there. I had the place to myself. There weren't kids, you know, kind of crawling around and all that sort of stuff. And I started shooting, and I got the low battery warning. And doggone it, if my replacement battery wasn't even more drained than the battery that was giving me the warning in the first place. And I was not able to capture the shots in that moment. And I'm still mad about that. Still mad about that. So it's not good enough to have an extra battery. It has to be charged as well. Okay, number four. And number five here. Not forgetting that black and white mode solves every color problem and can be a fix for harsh midday light as well. So if you're wrangling with color, if you've got mixed lighting, if, you know, just for some reason, you know, you're looking at the shot on the back of the LCD and you go, that is a terrible color scheme. I can't stand it. I love the shot, but this terrible color scheme. How do I fix it? Okay, let me change the white balance. No, it doesn't work. Let me try this. No. Open the curtains. Close the curtains. Turn on the lights. Turn off the lights. Still terrible color. Stop fighting it. Go to black and white mode. Go to black and white mode. You can shoot RAW plus JPEG if you want and try to figure out how to wrangle the color later on. But shoot RAW plus JPEG with the JPEG being captured in monochrome mode. Get a beautiful black and white version of that shot and call it a day. Go have a cup of coffee. Go do whatever you want to do. That's fun. But stop worrying about the terrible color in the shot. Now, going along with that, it's amazing how black and white is more tolerant of bad lighting. And suddenly what looked terrible in color can look pretty cool and artistic in black and white. So that is another time that you might want to go RAW plus JPEG with the JPEG being in monochrome mode and get some cool black and white. Now, the ultimate bad lighting savior is infrared. We talked about that in the black and white workshop because we covered black and white infrared. And I'm also going to be talking about that a lot in the upcoming infrared workshop. But IR loves really bright, contrasty light. The light that we normally avoid, IR is going, bring it on. Give me more and I will make you a really cool shot. But everyday life, you know, where you don't have to worry about special filters or a converted camera or any of that sort of stuff, black and white mode saves you from terrible color, and it can save you from not ideal lighting, especially as the sun gets high in the sky. So those are my five things. Those are the five things that we sometimes forget, that if we remember these will make our life so much better. Remember to reset the ISO to auto after jacking up to 6400. Shade the front of your lens when shooting in the direction of the sun. And I like the lens hood plus hand technique. Remembering to shoot a little wide and then crop to taste in post. Acknowledging that it's not just good enough to carry an extra battery, but that extra battery must be charged as well. And not forgetting that black and white mode solves every color problem and can be a fix for harsh midday lighting as well. I hope you enjoy these, and then get out there and take some pictures. I have two seats open for the Mastering Capture One Pro 21 online workshop. We've got a great crew signed up already. still have two seats left if someone wants to get in on this. It starts on August 4th, 2021, Mastering Capture One Pro 21 online workshop. We're going to cover the best practices for using this app. If you're thinking about maybe switching to Capture One Pro, you can download the trial version of the application for free and then take the workshop and really dig in and discover if this thing is for you. All the sessions will be recorded, so not only do you get to enjoy the session in real time, but anything that we talk about, any tips, all that kind of stuff will be recorded and be available to you so you can download it and watch it as many times as you want. And then if you're a Patreon member, remember that you get a $15 discount off this already super affordable workshop. All you have to do if you want to sign up for one of those two seats for Capture One Pro is click on the link that's in the show notes. It'll take you to our TDS Workshops page, or you can just go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on Workshops, or you can click on the Workshops tile that's on all the pages of the digital story. There's no excuse for not finding that page, right? And then once you get there, remember we've got an infrared workshop, we've got a writing workshop for artists who want to write better, who want to publish. We've got workshops going into next year. We got physical workshops waiting for you there. We've got all sorts of stuff. So go over and take a look. And like I said, if you want to dig deep into Capture One Pro 21, this is a great way to do it. Instagram's shift in focus is a reminder of the risk in building businesses on someone else's land. So this is an article from F-Stoppers, and I have the link to the full article in show notes. I'm not going to read you the full article or talk about the full article, but I am going to read you some parts of it and talk about those. And then if you're interested in this and want to hear more, you can go over to the site itself and check it out. With the news that Instagram's focus has shifted to be far less centered around images, many photographers have spent years building their following and brand on the app are left out in the cold. This isn't the first, nor will it be the last time you are reminded of the dangers of building a large part of your business on someone else's platform. I'm going to keep reading, but I just want to say amen to that right there. And that's very much the reason why I created Derek Story Online. That is our platform. You know, we're using the framework for Mighty Networks, but they don't control it. They can't say suddenly we are a flower shop and all of you guys have to get out of here. It is our space and we get to control what we do there. So anyway, that was an aside, but I tell you that is a lesson that I have already learned the hard way. All right, let's get back to Instagram. When Instagram launched a decade ago, it would have been difficult to predict that it would evolve into anything that wasn't centered around photographs. This is the author speaking. At first, I wasn't particularly interested in the app. It seemed like a niche platform that you could take photographs and put filters over the top of them rather than something aimed at photographers. But I was eventually lured into trying it. It was restrictive, square crop only then, but enjoyable, and the algorithms that dictated your success and views were intuitive. I became a little less obsessed with getting more followers and more likes, which can be seen as a negative reaction, but its impact on my desire to create more and more better images was positive at least. Over the last few years, however, I have grown increasingly disillusioned with the app, to the point where I no longer post to it. Where once I was getting clients and growing analytics, it changed from chronological feed followed by a myriad of other prescriptive alterations to who sees what meant it became frustrating and demotivating. I more or less gave up on using Instagram altogether. That's because I didn't get particularly big to begin with. Photographers with six-figure or more followings could still harness it to make money and get unimaginable exposure. So what's the problem? Well, Instagram has openly stated that they're moving away from photo sharing and photography, with a stronger focus on more contemporary desires of social media users, aka video. Right? I just added that last part. He didn't say that. But it's true. Now, I have been watching this myself. I have to say, personally, that I have been less motivated to post on Instagram these days myself. It seems as if Instagram stories and video and all that, and what I see in the feed, are just really dominating that landscape. And honestly, what I came to Instagram a little bit late, but when I did come over, it was still photographers hanging out, doing their thing. And I mean, all sorts of photographers, the most casual photographers in the world with their smartphone, all the way up to people that were doing crazy things with their dedicated cameras and then posting those in the feed as well. But it was fun. It was stimulating. I loved going through the Instagram stream there and just looking at stuff. And, you know, I thought it was like a great way to pass time when I had a few minutes. And I enjoyed posting and I enjoyed the comments, all that stuff. But it has become less motivating for me as well because of the shift. I mean, when the head Instagram guy says, hey, we're not about still photos anymore. We're about, you know, video and you know, what's moving forward in on social media. Then when you're primarily a still photographer, as I am, you gotta go, well, shoot, I kind of wish Facebook never would have bought you. You know what I mean? Well, actually, I've been wishing that all along. But anyway, I digress there. So at any rate, and again, like this author here for this article, and I just read you part of it, my intent is not to knock Instagram because I still go to it, I still scroll through it, and I still post to it, even though I don't post as much as I used to. But I don't have the same passion for it that I had before. And maybe other things have changed in my life that influence that. Maybe it's not just Instagram's fault and the changes that they've made. But most likely, it's a combination of all those things that, you know, we've been through in the last year and a half. For instance, one of the things that I posted a lot about was when I was out and about doing stuff. And when you're not out and about doing stuff anymore, and you've already posted, you know, all the flower shots around your house, then, yeah, that's a little demotivating, too. And that's not Instagram's fault. That's something else that we call virus as, you know, the culprit there. So I'm going to try, actually, despite all these things that I've discussed, to reinvigorate myself on Instagram. And I'd be curious to hear what you thought about this. I'm actually going to run a poll on our Patreon site about Instagram. I've got one running right now. Once it ends, then I'll probably wait a few days. And I want to run an Instagram poll on our Patreon site and see how our Patreon members, how our Inner Circle members are feeling about it these days as well. So I just thought it was an interesting article, and it sort of resonated with some stuff that's been in the back of my mind for a bit. And if you have stuff kind of rattling around in the back of your mind about it, you might want to go over to this article on F-stoppers. And I have the link in the show notes. And as I said, if you're a Patreon member, I'm going to be running a poll soon, and I'd love to hear what you think about it. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. First off, thanks to our Inner Circle members. So much fun to hang out with. We have a poll going there right now. If you're an Inner Circle member, make sure you go over and chime in. I'm asking you if you plan on buying a new camera in 2021. I'm really curious because we've got all these camera announcements coming at us now. We're going to have one from Canon. Looks like we're going to have one from Sony that I'll probably talk about next week. We're hoping that OM Digital comes out with something by the end of the year. And I'm just, and we have the new Nikon. And so I'm just wondering, you know, do you have plans for a new camera, or are you going to sit pat, or do you want something else, right? So if you're a Patreon member and you haven't gone over and chimed in on the poll yet, I appreciate it. And I'm going to talk about the results of that poll on next week's show. And then also after that, Patreon members, we're going to talk about Instagram. So that's going to be the next topic for over there. If you want to help support this community and just keep us moving forward, click on the tile that's on every page of the digital story. Go to our Patreon site. You don't get to see, you know, the full stories for the stuff that's for the Inner Circle members. I think you get to see a headline or so. But you get a feel for what's going on there. And if you like it, I hope that you'll join us and become a supporter as well. I haven't talked about EV Explorers for a while, but it's a group that I'm running on our Derek Story online site. And it's really for people right now. It's a group where we share information about electric vehicles. And, you know, the angle isn't that electric vehicles are going to save the planet or that, you know, they're greener or they're not greener than other cars or any of that other kind of stuff. Really, what this group is about is sharing information that's surfacing every week about electric vehicles. For those of us that just like driving them, we think they're interesting cars. They really appeal to people who like technology, to people who are interested in, you know, doing something different. They drive differently. You maintain them differently. They have different electronics in them, all that sort of stuff. If you like that stuff and you find it fun, I think you'll enjoy our group. And I just keep putting it out there right now. There's no cost to join or anything like that. Just so we can share information as this story continues to unfold, as it will over the next decade. And right now, you know, we have some pioneers in this group, and it's really interesting to hear what they have to say. If you want to join this group, all you have to do is go to show notes. There's a link there. Click on that link, and I'll get your request, and then I'll approve it. And then you're in the group and you can start hanging out with us there. And finally, a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the folks that love printing more than any other group that I know. Not only do they have some great paper, and I mean, when I say some great paper, I mean a lot of great paper, all different sizes, all sorts of different things going on with it. Surfaces galore. That's a nice term. I would like to do an ad for Red River Paper. This says surfaces galore. You know, you can go all the way from the toothiest matte to the most polished high resolution gloss metallic paper, and they have everything in between. But they have more. They have all the stuff that you need to go along with your printing project. You know, paper, ink, envelopes, all that stuff, glassine sleeves. There's lots of knowledge there. They are great, and they are responsive, and they can help you, you know, really get your printing game moving forward. And making a good print is one of the very fun things in photography. All you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the digital story, you may want to go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them for supporting this show. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed my 5 please don't forget tips. Come back next week. There's some interesting things brewing. I'm going to cover some of them. Until then, be safe, be creative, keep taking pictures. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.